That's right. It is a Wednesday with Doug Whaley. You can text us any questions, comments, concerns, thoughts for Doug. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Got a text here, guys, that makes my brain hurt, and I don't know that we need to use this as a topic or anything, but it does make my brain hurt. Texter, more confidence in Tomlin winning a playoff game or Franklin beating a top 10 opponent?
Tomlin.
Yeah. I'm going to go Tomlin, but it makes my brain hurt.
With this team.
Yeah.
I'll say Tomlin.
Yeah. Russell Wilson, a better quarterback relative to his peers than Drew Aller, I think.
No doubt.
Yes.
Would they have three catches for wide receivers? Part of that's on the receivers and not being good enough, but my God. My God. All right, enough of that. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. People want the Steelers talk, Doug. GM in the NFL, our GM insider, Doug Whaley, with us. And Steelers active yesterday. They get Mike Williams for a fifth-round pick. They get Preston Smith for a seventh-round pick from the Green Bay Packers. How do you feel like Omar made out yesterday, Doug?
I think it sends a signal to everybody that they feel they have a shot this year. It shows that, hey, listen, even though Mike Williams isn't going to be the bona fide number two everybody was hoping for, this one gives you another tool in the toolbox that that Arthur Smith can use, but it also prevents against injury. So if Pickens goes down, you can still have someone that is capable, obviously not to Pickens' level. And then on defense with Preston Smith, you're talking about a guy with, as Coach always says, position flexibility, tool knife, be able to play outside linebacker, move in the D end, and in sub, he can be that outside rusher if you need to, or inside rusher. So it helps with injuries. And then what it also does, it helps keep those two beasts healthy, but not only healthy, but fresh during games. So when you get up, and the way I'm looking at it is, they're imagining that we're going to be able to get up a score or two and then unleash the hounds. Now, from my brain standpoint, I'm calling an all-hands meeting for the personnel department saying, hey, listen, we may get some compensatories, but let's not go into this offseason thinking about compensatories. All our scouts, let's look at fifth-round graded guys down. And you say, why is that? Because you don't have fifth, sixth, or seventh. So our undrafted free agent class has to be as strong as we've ever had it before, because we're going to have to backfill that roster with not draft picks, but undrafted free agents, especially if we don't get compensatories, because that's those guys that build up the special teams, give you depth at different positions. So it's going to be imperative on the scouts, the college guys, to really dive deep into those later round guys.
I remember seeing you at the Pitt-Clemson game in 2016 on the field, and Mike Williams played in that game, I believe. And you scouted Mike Williams. You know, what was his like pedigree coming out, and can he get back to that true form of why he was a top 10 pick back in 2017? Can he bring that back out now, being what is a sixth, seventh year in the league and dealing with injuries?
I mean, his positives were his size, his catch range, and his ability to come up with contested balls. So even after injuries and being a veteran and some skills have diminished physically, the things that you hung your hat on, he can still do. Now, instead of being 20, 30 yards down the field, it might be 10 to 15, but I still think he can be a productive receiver as long as you know what he's good at and what he can do.
I want to ask a question, a follow-up of what you had just said about the compensatory picks and think about scouting in the future. I mean, really, Steelers gone all in. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, Patrick Queen, Deshaun Elliott. They made a couple of trades here. They were trying to go in on Ayuk. Is this team good enough to be the team you go all in for? Like, has this been the right approach? Because they are really pot committed to this year and getting it done. Should they be?
When the owner says it's time to win a playoff game, absolutely. And, you know, we'll worry about tomorrow. Right now, we have a team that is starting to click on all cylinders. We think we have a quarterback. Our defense is, besides the run D, has been pretty good. And we got one of the best defensive players in the league. Let's do it. And the owner said it's time to win a playoff game. Absolutely. And that's why I've always said, when they got not only Russell, but Justin Fields, to me, the most intriguing thing is not what happens this year. I wanted to see what happens this year, but the most intriguing is this offseason. And especially now that they're putting a lot of those chips in there, this is when it's going to get juicy and it's going to be great for us.
Oh, yeah.
Talk radio all this offseason. So this season's going to be great and offseason's going to probably be even better.
Did it surprise you when they traded for Preston Smith?
It did, just because of not thinking, you know, with Herbig coming back and stuff like that. But I actually see it with Leal out, Benton not really coming to fruition and taking that next step that everybody thought he would. Maybe they're going to do some adjusting on different packages and maybe get him out, get him a little rest, or put him in positions to be a little more productive than he has. So this guy with the veteran mentality, the position flexibility, I think it shows you that, hey, we may not be the best right now, but we're going to keep adding until we get to where we need to be.
You only have so many assets, and because Fields could cost a fourth or a sixth, depending on how much he plays, you can't trade those picks. So you had the fifth, the seventh, or anything above the fourth that you could play with here. I mean, their hands were kind of tied. Did they miss out on adding depth to any other positions, Doug, where you look at this team and go, oh, man, I wish they could have maybe added here or there?
I mean, to me, I don't see it. I mean, maybe I'm missing something. You obviously got two quarterbacks, the receiver they did, tight ends. I don't think you need anything. Offensive line, you're hopefully getting people healthy and coming back. D-line, you did. Linebacker, nah. And secondary, you got whatchamacallit coming back?
Sutton.
Yeah. So I don't see anywhere else where they could have added that. I'm thinking, they missed out on a chance. And then when you also talk about what they had to the assets they had to deal, if you wanted to get into that Adams stuff trade, they may have thought, hey, we may not want to go past that fifth because of that fourth that we have to hold on
right
to. And no one's, and maybe it was a sign that we're good, but we're not championship good, so we don't want to go up and give a third for something like that. So we still want to go in, but we're not going to put all the chips in.
Would you be okay with, like, just in your mind, like, waiting all the way up to the deadline and maybe, like, 6 hours before the deadline? Or would you want to get something done a little bit earlier? And especially if you're in a Steelers case right now, on, you know, coming off of a bye week, if you were to get something done maybe a little bit earlier, you could get those guys in, you get them acclimated. Now you're kind of rushing to see if they could play this weekend.
No, I agree, but it also takes two to tango.
Mm-hmm.
What you want doesn't mean that's what the other team wants, and that's what I always say. Oh, we need to go. Everybody's like, we got to get this guy, we got to get that guy. Or we need to sign this person. Russell Wilson's got to want to come back. You know, everybody wants to sign him, but again, if he's not, hey, you want to give me 25? This is my last contract. I'm not giving anybody a discount. I need to go out and get as much money because I'm not getting another one after this. So if you want Pittsburgh hometown discount, you better go talk to somebody else. So I'm not saying he's going to do that.
You don't know, though.
You don't know. So, but to answer your question, maybe they tried to, but everybody's like, well, hold on. Let me see what happens this week because of injuries. You never know what happens that last game. So, yes, in a perfect world, but sometimes it doesn't work that way.
If the Steelers, the one receiver I could see Steelers fans saying, darn, I wish we had that guy, might be DeAndre Hopkins, based on the cost and based on what he did the other night and recency bias. And, wow, that guy looks pretty good. 8 catches, 83 yards, 2 touchdowns. But would you rather, in a year where you're guaranteed nothing, have that guy and pay a third, a guaranteed third for him, or have Mike Williams for a fifth? Like, I feel like I'm okay with Mike Williams for a fifth.
Yeah.
I think DeAndre Hopkins, he showed he still got it or still has something. He's not what he once was, but a third-round pick to give up for that guy when maybe you could get similar production out of Mike Williams, I think that's a slam dunk.
No doubt. I agree with you there. Now, he went for a fifth. What were the Steelers offering that they didn't get him for that fifth? That's the question. Did they say, no, we're going to stick with a six and stick to their
probably
guns?
Right.
Right. I mean, you would think. And then all of a sudden, they're like, wait a minute. Well, we didn't get him, and now it's the witching hour. We're going to have to maybe pay
for
that.
Yeah, I mean, great. I do wonder if how much the whole Justin Fields thing puts a wrench in everything. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
Could you have gotten Mike Williams for a sixth?
Right.
Maybe. I kind of think probably. I always thought he would have gone for a seventh, but you don't have a sixth, so you do have to overpay to get your guy.
Right.
Like, they were kind of tied down a little bit.
But I will always say this, and it was something that when Terry Pegula bought the Bills, and at the time it was the highest paid for an NFL franchise, and that was in 14. And he looked at me, he says, Doug, everybody asked if I overpaid. I didn't, because it's mine.
It ain't my money. Right? I mean,
well, it is.
No, it was his. Yeah, yeah. No, but what he's saying is, as long as you get what you want, you're not overpaying.
Yeah,
because it's yours.
Oh, that's Jim Rutherford's theory. Yeah. Like if I'm on eBay, right, and I'm trying to buy a jersey, or whatever I'm trying to buy on eBay, a trinket, some kind of deal,
one of those Mountaineer hats,
yeah, which is on brand, and I pay $60, and the next guy was going to offer $40, but I wanted to make sure I got it. Well, I got my thing.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean. I think they did have to walk a fine line between mortgaging too much in terms of the assets for the future with what they're trying to do right now. Like, Mike Williams ain't DK Metcalf. If DK Metcalf really were available and they would have taken him, if you could have got him for a second, I think I would have done that. But I don't know that he was available. And that's why I've come around on this whole Mike Williams thing. Initially, I said, man, that's what they wind up getting with Slayton still out there and Jacoby Myers and maybe Metcalf and maybe Lockett. Well, none of those guys got moved. Mm-hmm. So maybe they weren't really on the block. Or maybe you had to move heaven and earth to get those guys.
Correct.
Yeah.
There's always an asking price. And there's teams, even I'm sure people called the Steelers about people. And they're like, well, if you meet this price, we can talk. But if not, it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, I've said this before. When you talk about getting rid of somebody, you better have a plan to replace that person. So if you're talking about the other team, Mike Williams, all right, we got to get rid of him. They already have. Well, he's going to be next year. We're going to get rid of him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take that sixth round.
We got Devontae.
Yeah, we got Devontae and a fifth. We can get somebody to replace him for sure. So that's another thing that goes into the equation.
Doug, good question here on the text line of 412-928-9370 that I want to get to in the next segment. Also, just a simple question. How good are the Steelers? How deep is this roster? We'll get into that a little bit when we come back. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And right now, it's a Charlie Borges fan headline. Wednesday with Doug Whaley. I'm arguing with Penn State fans now on the text line.
About what?
I can't help myself.
What happened now?
They called me a fraud for saying Penn State can't win a playoff game. And then he said, what about WVU? What does that have to do with anything? How am I a fraud? I'm not a fraud. Penn State's a fraud. They lose every big game they play. Frauds. Sorry. I digress. Someone says, take a couple of calls while Doug's on the air. Many of us would love to ask questions to him. Maybe a 5-minute segment called Ask Doug. Okay, Mr. Producer, we should do that. Why wouldn't we let people ask questions of Doug? So if you want to call in, you can. At 412-928-9370.
We're stingy with our time with Doug, that's why.
That's right. We want to make the most of it,
yeah.
And we are trained radio professionals,
mm-hmm.
And you are merely regular people. We have superpowers. Now, give Doug a call. If you got something for Doug, you can call 412-928-9370. Someone did text in and ask, what's up with Minka Fitzpatrick? Yeah, I don't think Minka's been bad. He's obviously hadn't had a turnover in 22 games. How do you think he's playing?
I think the issue with Minka is when he came on the scenes, he came on gangbusters. I mean, making splash play after splash play. I think it was interesting what Coach Tomlin said about Sutton's return, how it'll affect how they use Minka. So I'm thinking with Sutton coming back, putting Minka in positions to be more of a splash player than a last line of defense. And coming from a safety, sometimes if you're the last line of defense, you don't want to be over-aggressive because if you miss, Katie bar the door, it's band's playing.
Band's playing, yeah.
Absolutely. So this is going to be interesting, like I said, with Sutton coming back, do they start putting Minka in positions to go get ball? See ball, get ball. So we'll see.
Mike Tomlin was kind of glowing about Cam Sutton a little bit yesterday, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And just saying he could do so many things. He could play corner. He could play slot. He could play safety. Like, and they don't know how they're going to use him, right? I mean, that doesn't mean that Beanie Bishop won't play, and he creates the great depth now that we've been talking about. But he can do so many things that can just allow everybody to play differently.
And I know I talked about this when he made that switch to Russell about his leadership. There's another thing that he just said in that press conference that shows leadership. Hey, not Beanie Bishop. Everybody in the secondary better be put on notice.
Right.
Because Cam Sutton. So he's like, not just Beanie, fellas. Don't just be comfortable. And that is a leader. Right now, he needs everybody to start stepping up and not start looking over their shoulders and saying, oh, I might be. No, everybody needs to raise their level of game because we're about to go on a gauntlet here. And that's why I say out of all this year, the thing I'm checking most, we can talk about his coaching acumen, but as a leader, he is just hitting on every single note possible.
And not for nothing, well-placed moles at Steelers training camp, and by that I mean everybody who wrote about the Steelers at camp said that Cam Sutton was getting folded in there as a free safety a fair amount. So they will be using him in that way. 412-928-9370. We got a lot more from us for Doug, but someone did call in. Troy from Mount Washington. See what he has to ask Doug. What's up, Troy?
Crowley, appreciate it, man. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure, man.
I mean, it's not that I'm upset that we got Mike Williams. I guess I'm upset in the way we got him and in the timing of when we got him. I mean, we focus a lot on DeAndre Hopkins. I understand the Devontae Adams and the Ayuk. It's a little harder to get those done, but are we forgetting about the swings and misses that we've done with Keenan Allen earlier in the season? I mean, this isn't a problem that we identified recently. This is a problem we identified a long time ago. So I just feel like there were other options. Michael Gallup was out there earlier. I think we signed Van Jefferson the same day as him. I mean, there were just options for us to go out and attack and say, you know, this is a problem. We identified other problems on our team, and what did we do? We went and got them. We drafted those positions. We signed someone in positions of where we needed. As soon as we got rid of Deontay, we knew that we had to fill a spot. And we waited until
they still filled it. And thank you for the call, Troy.
Well, they tried. Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. People are saying, oh, he sat Omar sitting on his hands. Did he sit on his hands too long? But, I mean, they've made calls. And just as Doug said, it takes two to tango. And sometimes you don't get something done. But they got something done, and they tried to get something done. Sometimes swings and misses are good because you're getting the reps in. I mean, and that's what Omar, I mean, at the end of the day, like, you could say what you want about the whole situation and how it transpired in the end. But he was not sitting on his hands. He called Brandon Ayuk. Right. It was down to the wire. They called on Christian Kirk. He got hurt. They called on Devontae Adams too much, knew he was going to go to the Jets. They called on multiple guys, just didn't get done. It's not like they weren't doing anything.
No, I think the way the caller phrased it, I understand what he's saying, but yeah, it takes two. I think he's really saying is the timing of the Deontay Johnson trade put them in a position where everybody's like, we know you need it, so we're going to hang that price very high. So that I can see the struggle with people saying, well, you showed her your hand. And now everybody knows you're negotiating from a position of weakness because you need that guy. So we're going to drive a hard bargain. So that, but like you said, they tried. And this is what they ended up with.
And, you know, frankly, and it's a good call, Troy, and we appreciate it. 412-928-9370. I ain't crying in my beer today because Michael Gallup's not a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Right.
Like that ain't making or breaking their Super Bowl chances, that guy. They traded Deontay. It left a giant hole. We talked about it all offseason, as they did. They were pot committed to Brandon Ayuk. And clearly, now upon reflection, that was never going to get done unless they gave him $35 million. He wanted to use the Steelers to stay with the 49ers. And you can say, maybe the Steelers should have sniffed that out. Maybe. But any of the other guys that were traded this season weren't going to be Pittsburgh Steelers. The only one could have been Hopkins, and you're not paying a guaranteed third-round pick for that guy. You're just not doing it.
And you expose yourself to that possibility when you don't have that plan in place to replace the guy you left. And that's what I'm saying. That's the only thing misstep I'd say Omar, in my opinion, did this offseason was not having that plan in place and basically saying, we need a wide receiver. So everybody's like, all right, well, you're going to have to overpay. Ended up getting somebody. Is it to the ilking that everybody thinks? Oh, we should have got. No. But right now, with what they had to work with, we'll see. And right now, you can't really question what they've said personnel-wise and who they need to put in and who they get because they've been hitting on more than they've missed.
We said it months ago, like, should they have held on to Deontay Johnson at least through OTAs to see, you know, to kind of assess and not put themselves in that hole just to see if it could transpire. Was it too early to get rid of Deontay Johnson? And, you know, I mean, you did create a hole. It was obvious. And now you filled it, but we'll see how that works.
Yeah, and just because of the timing, I just get the feeling, and I haven't talked to anybody. I don't have any sources in there that I've talked to. That was more personal than business.
Yeah. Sure, absolutely.
And we all know, anybody out there that has in business, in sports, anything, when you start making personal decisions, they usually come back to bite you.
Mm-hmm. That was a Mike Tomlin call, too, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And here's the funny thing. If you kept Deontay, would you have signed a corner this offseason? You would have liked to think so. Maybe not. You might be in exactly the same place, but with a corner And we'd be talking about people calling in being underwhelmed with the corner that they acquired at the deadline. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you have wide receiver taken care of, Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, but you don't have Dante Jackson, so you got to go out and get a corner.
You could have packaged them in a draft day deal. And like you said, after OTAs and mini camps, people were like, yeah, you know what? We need one. Then so your price could even go up the longer you hold them.
I want to see how it plays out with Mike Williams. Like, you've got a great deep ball thrower. You've got a high point guy in Pickens. You've got a high point guy in Mike Williams. Let's just see how it goes. Let's see how it goes, starting this week against Washington. Another question for Doug when we come back. Simple one, but I'm interested to hear his answer. Just how good are the Steelers? Sitting here at 6-2, are they a legitimate threat to win not just one playoff game, but maybe a division, maybe multiple playoff games? We'll talk to Doug about that when we come back. But first, a Charlie Borges headline. Callis isn't here, but his little goodies are left behind. He'll be back with us next Monday. This is a Callis original right here.
It is. His own beat.
The OG Callis beat.
Yep. Oh, I didn't know this.
Mm-hmm. He made this.
It kind of sounds, now that he's not here, I feel like I didn't say this. It's like when your kid makes you something in the Easy Bake Oven, and you're like, oh, that's good for like an Easy Bake Oven.
Mm.
But like, not really good.
Right.
This is good for like GarageBand, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hey! Somebody bring me a Diet Coke!
I don't know where that came
from. What was that?
And Charles Borges has his own spin he's going to put on the producer booth over there. All right, Whaley. Steelers 6-2, and they got one of the best point differentials in the AFC. Second-ranked defense in terms of points per game, and their offense in terms of points per game is 13th in the NFL. How good are the Steelers? And what should the expectation now be? I mean, coming in, it was, hey, go win a playoff game. Are they good enough for more?
I mean, right now, as it sits today, and obviously they went through an early season schedule that isn't as daunting as what they're about to face. But for me, I think they are trending in the direction where they could definitely compete for a divisional title and also compete for maybe, I wouldn't say conference just yet. I'll wait till after these next two games. Then I think if they go 2-0 or 1-1 and it looks legit, you can say definitely conference. In my opinion, the positive thing that I'm seeing out of this is they seem to be a complete team, meaning they're getting contributions not only from the offense, but the defense and special teams. And offensively, they're not one-dimensional. And that was the biggest thing, I think, was the reason why Tomlin went with Wilson over Fields. Fields kept them one-dimensional. And again, that's okay during the regular season, but once you get into that single elimination tournament, those teams can really focus on that one dimension, and you got to be multifaceted to score points in the playoffs. So to me, in two weeks, I can give you a better answer, but right now, definitely for the division, they should be competing for that. Conference, we'll see.
What about tomorrow night, too? I know we'll get back to the Steelers, but tomorrow night is Bengals-Ravens. Mm-hmm. What do you, in the Steelers' favor, what needs to happen in that game, in your opinion?
In my opinion, because they've had such success against the Ravens, I'd rather knock the Bengals out. Don't give them any chance of life, because if you got Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson, I'm more scared of Burrow, even though the defense is there. And now, Lamar Jackson and King Henry, I see that. But let's eliminate one and make it a two-horse race.
That's how I feel, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see it argued both ways. Yeah. I mean, if the Ravens lose the next two games, they lose to Cincinnati tonight, and then they lose to Pittsburgh, and you're sitting there at 8-2,
yeah,
and they're sitting there with five losses, you're feeling really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I want Cincinnati the hell out of here.
Yeah.
And from a mathematics standpoint, I mean, you're 4-6. I think you need to be 10-7 to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now you're really up against it the rest of the way.
Their room for error decreases dramatically if they lose tomorrow.
We talked about this a little bit too. Okay, obviously you want to see the Steelers win, beat Washington, and you're thinking, okay, you just beat a really good 7-2 football team on the road, and it's going to have you maybe getting to some pie in the sky expectations. How do you want to see them beat Washington? Like, do you need to see them win a shootout? Do you want to see them win like complete game, like 27-24? Like, How would you ideally, say for a blowout, obviously, like to see the Steelers do it? Like, what do you need to see from them?
I'd like to see maybe a fourth quarter comeback.
Oh.
Just to say.
Option C there, Doris.
Yes, there it is.
Fourth quarter comeback, because now that's, we know Russ can come back from behind. And guess what? We did it against a good team. So that means that defense stepped up, the running game, everything was hitting on all cylinders late. Maybe go through some adversity early, but they really weren't. I mean, down to a very good team that can put up points and score points in bunches. I'd like to see that. Then you're like, ooh, then they're going to have confidence going into that Baltimore game. Not that they wouldn't if they won any other way, but now it's like you checked all the boxes. No matter what situation is thrown at us during a football game, we can handle.
Man, you know what? It always seems like this. And I know Kenny Pickett's class was kind of the anomaly, but it always seems like that there's this bunch of quarterbacks in the draft class, and there's usually one that is like successful their first year. Mm-hmm. Last year was Stroud. This year's Daniels. Why is that? Is that because of circumstance of being in the right place, right time, right team? Or is it missed opportunities by other teams? Like, hey, maybe we should have taken this talent instead of taking the number one talent, like, say, Caleb Williams. Like, what? There's always one guy that always, and it's usually never the first guy.
Yeah.
It's usually like the third or fourth guy that has the better year than everybody else.
Well, if I knew that answer, I probably wouldn't be here. I know everybody else would.
You wouldn't want to come hang out with us on Wednesdays, Doug.
No, but I'd say it's really, like you said, it's circumstances.
Yeah.
Usually the first guy's against going to a miserable team.
Right.
The third or fourth team guy is going to a team that maybe had a dip, like Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers, that had a team around him but was a quarterback away, but they dipped so much that they were in a position to get that quarterback. And in the end, though, what happens is anytime you have a Jaden Daniels blow up or Stroud blow up that first year, it puts so much more pressure on everybody else that comes behind him, not only the quarterback but the team. Because if he doesn't start playing in the first round, well, he's a bust. Mm-hmm. What do you mean he's a bust? It was his first year. No. Stroud, Daniels, they did it. So now the expectations for any rookie quarterback is so high that if you don't hit it, then people start turning their nose like, what's wrong? He's a bust. What's wrong with him? We got to start looking for him. So that time component gets compressed for that position dramatically. Sure. in today's NFL.
I'm not sure Bryce Young would have been good wherever he went, but I think about the situation he landed in versus what Joe Burrow landed in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Like, Cincinnati wasn't good, but they had good weapons.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you had Ja'Marr Chase, and so you've got better weapons. And you knew, at least offensively, you were surrounding him with this nice nest egg. Offensive line, no good. I mean, you're Bryce Young. You don't have a shot.
No.
I don't care if you are good. Like, Jaden Daniels, I don't think would be playing well in Carolina right now.
Would Jaden Daniels be playing better than Caleb Williams right now with the weapons that they have in Chicago?
Yeah, I'd like to see Caleb Williams in Washington.
What if you flip-flop?
Yeah. I think that's a question. Would Caleb be better in Washington than Chicago? So, and then Jaden in Chicago. I'd probably go Caleb in Washington.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just with that staff.
That's the coaching staff. Yes. Clint Kingsbury.
And that offensive
Quinn.
Line. Yeah.
Doug Whaley, by the way, brought to us by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union. One more segment with Doug when we come back. First, though, it's a Charlie Borges fan headline. There you go, Doran. There's a sweet Caroline. Little Neil Diamond touching me,
mm-hmm.
touching you,
mm-hmm.
all that fun stuff.
Yep.
50-minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Mike DeCourcy, he is a columnist for the Sporting News. He wrote, Steelers fans unhappy with Mike Williams trade because he's not a current star or the team paid too much by sending out a fifth-round pick. Well, Dallas paid a fourth for Jonathan Mingo. That is true. I would rather have Mike Williams for a fifth than Jonathan Mingo for, well, anything, but I'm not sure my standard is I want the Steelers GM to be better than Jerry Jones. Should be an easy bar to hurdle there. Social media's Biggest Loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. We've got our airwaves back. Right, so political ad's gone. I'm hoping to get social media back. Like, now that the election is over, I want my For You tab to go back to meat grilling videos,
mm-hmm.
penguin stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
And maybe the occasional hot chick. Like, that's what I want. And I think I think that's where we are, baby.
Yes.
Doug, I wanted to ask you about the Steelers' second half of the season schedule, because I don't remember talking to you about it in these terms when the schedule did come out, but we're finally here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a GM, and you see the Steelers' like schedule release day, you're sitting there with the owner,
mm-hmm.
and you see you've got Philadelphia, Baltimore, Kansas City in succession in 11 days. Are we writing an angry letter to the commissioner? Like, how does that go down? Or do you just take it and say the schedule's the schedule?
I mean, you have those moments of like, why? Come on. Then you go into Art and like, Art, did you do something wrong here?
What's going on?
But when it comes down to it, when you are the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're a marquee franchise in the NFL, you know you're going to get put in some marquee games, and they're going to probably get you a point where they're going to try to put you on as much as possible. So it's to be expected. What you're thinking is, like they did, let's stack as many wins early because we have that gauntlet late and have some room to play with, have a little cushion. But again, anytime you get the schedule, you're going to find something that you're going to be like, this sucks. But you're not going to do anything about it. But you can use it, and I'm sure Tomlin will use it as a motivating factor. Like, listen. We're in this point for a reason because we are the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they expect us to come out and play at a high level no matter what the circumstances. It doesn't matter how many times we're playing, where we're playing, who we're playing, and when we play them. We are the Steelers. Let's hold our business correct, and we'll be fine.
I like that.
Me too.
I like that a lot.
Do they play NFL games on Christmas? How many have they played? They played one last year? I can't remember.
So it's Wednesday, so it would be Thursday. So, yeah, it would have been Thursday.
I remember a Browns-Packers game when Baker was there, but I don't remember if it was Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't either.
My brain's fried.
Saturday and Sunday, I'm sure they do, but during the week, yeah.
During the week, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Wednesday's odd.
Very odd.
Mm-hmm. Steelers played the Ravens on that Wednesday during COVID.
Right.
Yeah, that got
pulled. And the Ravens had like 26 guys on their team and almost won. It was like a college game when you suspend everybody
yep.
for not going to math class or whatever. All right, very good. This was fun today. Thank you for coming in, Doug.
Always a pleasure, man.
It is always a pleasure.
And we got some fall weather finally.
82 degrees yesterday.
It was ridiculous. I liked it, though. I wasn't mad about it.
I walked outside to take my dog out at like 9 o'clock and was so bummed I hadn't spent the entire night on my patio.
Right.
What a missed opportunity by me. All right, coming up tomorrow, Pat Bostic in for 3 hours. We'll get more into Pitt in the college football playoff rankings and, of course, start peering ahead to Steelers v. Commanders. Thanks to Charlie Borges. He'll be back with us again tomorrow. Starkey up next. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event, now through December 2nd. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High of 69. Possible rain in the forecast.